It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, setting the rules for impeachment.
This is about setting the parameters for the debate and what the American public will see on the floor tomorrow.
That is our top story today. The House Rules Committee meeting right now to lay the groundwork for tomorrow's big vote. In the U.S. House,
it's clear that this president acted in a way that not only violates the public trust, he jeopardized our national security.
Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern chairs the House Rules Committee. The full House expected to vote on those two articles of impeachment against President Trump tomorrow. Meantime, Democrats who were once on the fence about impeaching the president now taking a stand.
I made this decision out of principle and out of a duty to protect and defend the Constitution.
That's Michigan Democrat Alyssa Slotkin. She was met with cheers and boos after she announced she'll be voting for impeachment.
And I will stick to that regardless of what it does to me politically, because this is bigger than politics.
Slotkin's district went for President Trump in 2016. She's one of a series of swing district Democrats who've waited until the very end to announce their decision.
I'm the one who swore an oath to the Constitution to defend it.
Minnesota's Colin Peterson, one of at least two Democrats expected to vote no on impeachment. The other, New Jersey's Jeff Van Drew, says he's seriously considering switching to the GOP because of the impeachment issue. In the Senate, meantime, where a trial would likely start early next year if the House passes the impeachment articles tomorrow, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell rejecting the minority's leader request to call new witnesses.
It appears that the most rushed, least thorough, and most unfair impeachment inquiry in modern history is about to wind down after just 12 weeks.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Republicans are afraid of what will be uncovered. That's why they're rejecting his request to call new witnesses. Wicked weather, that is the other big story today. Snow in the Northeast, tornadoes in the Deep South, at least three deaths being blamed on those twisters.
The cat flew. It picked the cat up and the cat flew. It flew across the yard.
27 tornadoes touching down yesterday in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama.
You could see it was coming and you could feel it kind of shake the house.
That woman lost her home to a twister. Others lost much more. This woman's best friend killed when a tornado tore apart her mobile home.
Don't take life for granted, because the night can be gone just a second.
The storm system now pounding the Northeast with heavy snow. Winter weather advisories up for our listening area through tonight. Jeff Berardelli at the National Weather Service.
Binghamton, Poughkeepsie, east to Hartford, Springfield, Massachusetts, over to Boston. That is some of the most dangerous conditions. It's where we have that mix of ice and snow.
Tomorrow, ski country gets in on the action. Close to a foot of snow could fall on parts of western New York tomorrow. A bone-chilling cold to go along with all of that white stuff, too. Kevin Williams coming up. With no sign that regulators are ready to clear the 737 MAX to return to the skies, Boeing has suspended production of that jetliner. Here's aviation analyst Chris Van Cleve.
For now, the 12,000 Boeing employees who work on the 737 will not face layoffs or furloughs. But Boeing has 600 suppliers, so this move could impact tens of thousands of supply chain jobs across the country. It's been 22 years since Boeing has had to temporarily halt production of an airplane. The 737 MAX is estimated to account for about one-third of Boeing's revenue over the next 5 years.
That's Chris Van Cleve reporting from the skies to the road. Roads for drivers, assistance, technology is supposed to make things easier, but new research shows that's not necessarily the case. This LA motorist says he tracked one guy 4 miles as he drove and dozed.
We were in his area while we were driving for probably about 10 minutes, and he only woke up one time and kind of like looked around, and then he just like went back to sleep.
Assistance technology seems to be assisting some drivers to sleep at the wheel.
I think we're seeing some evidence of
that. That's AAA's Bill Horry. He says the culprits include adaptive cruise control and lane assistance technology. The experts say those two systems are creating lazy drivers. Bill Horry says no technology in the world can replace a real live person who's paying attention to the road. Big night for Drew Brees. The New Orleans Saints quarterback passing Peyton Manning's NFL record for career touchdown passes. Breeze now has 541 as the Saints beat the Colts last night in Monday Night Football. Still to come this Tuesday, tragic house fire in Farmington. Wicked weather is here and a dying man's final wish.
Well, a good afternoon to all. The system bringing our area snow, ice, and rain today will be departing, but then the Arctic floodgates will be opening. I'll have forecast details coming up in about 10 minutes.
Already, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, December 17th, the two victims in a house fire in Farmington, New York, in Ontario County earlier today have now been identified. Police say 84-year-old Mary Button and her 12-year-old grandson, Conrad Button, were killed when their house caught fire overnight. County Sheriff Kevin Henderson.
I have two folks that lost their lives, an 84-year-old, but sadly the 12-year-old. That's going to be difficult, especially around this time of year.
Henderson says Conrad Button attended school at Palmyra Macedon, where grief counselors are on hand today. The cause of that horrific fire still under investigation. The owner of an historic diner recently destroyed by fire has now been charged with arson. Police say 40-year-old Michael Ellis torched the 70-year-old structure back on December 9th. Devin Taylor is the town historian in Mayville, New York.
The diner has been an important location. It's where everybody came to meet. There were local coffee clubs, you know, people that came every day. Courthouse, quite often the jurors, you know, on lunch break would come over and have lunch there.
The diner was a dining car built at a Silver Creek, New York factory after World War II. It was moved to Mayville in the early 1950s. The owner has been charged with third-degree arson. Rough ride today for a lot of folks in New York and PA. Snow, sleet, freezing rain, making for a slow go out there.
It'd be white-knuckling it on your steering wheel.
That woman taking her time this afternoon, Steve Welch at the National Weather Service in Buffalo, says ski country sees all of the action tomorrow.
There's potential for 6 to 10 inches of lake effect snow through Thursday.
He said 6 to 10 inches of lake effect snow. Steve Welch says our temps start to take a nosedive, too.
We're expecting a cold front to move through tomorrow morning, and behind that, we're going to have some pretty cold temperatures.
Temps start to rebound some for the upcoming weekend. Another Republican state senator from the Rochester, New York region not seeking re-election, Rich Funke, announcing that today. He says he's stepping down. Funke represents New York's 55th Senate district. His announcement follows that of Republican state senator Joe Robach of the 56th district. Robach said last week he would not run in 2020. Laying the ground rules for impeachment going on right now in Washington, D.C. The House Rules Committee today setting the framework for debate and for the big vote on those two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Glenn Thompson.
I hate to even call it a process. It's a political stunt. And it's one that I think that is coming apart here in the end. Now, they'll probably just squeak by in a partisan way and pass two articles of impeachment tomorrow.
If that happens, President Trump will become just the third president to ever be impeached. All 9 House Democrats from Pennsylvania now say they'll support impeaching the president. Four-term Representative Matt Cartwright of northeastern Pennsylvania revealed his decision last night. Cartwright easily won re-election last year, but his district voted for Donald Trump by nearly 10 points in 2016. Penn State students who get bad grades can now request a do-over. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Under the new Penn State policy, undergraduates who get a D or an F in a class will be able to request to take it over, and if they do better, have their higher grade count toward their GPA. The head of the Division of Undergraduate Studies said the university has been developing a systematic way of working with students struggling academically. The new change will take effect in the summer of 2020. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. New York State has green-lighted a controversial wind turbine project in Broome County. Protesters say the proposed construction of 27 wind turbines in the towns of Windsor and Sanford will drive down property values. But Broome County Executive Jason Garner says the pros far outweigh the cons.
It's going to provide hundreds of jobs in Broome County, millions of dollars, of tax revenue, economic development opportunities for years to come. I think it's really important that we work to bring these projects into our community.
The town of Sanford zoning law effectively killed the wind turbine project, but the state stepped in and overruled that law. Well, it's a sure sign winter weather is here. The Lake Erie ice boom going in today. That boom is installed near the outlet of Lake Erie and helps reduce the amount of ice entering the Niagara River each and every winter. A 20-year-old from Millersburg, Pennsylvania, who's dying of brain cancer, now looking to help others in his final days. Eric Erdman has created the not-for-profit Give a Child a Voice. Its aim? To help abused and bullied kids find their voice.
I don't think success is measured in how long you live. I think it's measured in what you do in your life while you're here and how you can help people.
Erdman says every person gets 365 blank pages every year to write their story for that year.
I think my pages are running out.
And Erdman says he needs your help on his final project to build a gym where kids can go to escape their pain.
I want children or, you know, someone to finally find their courage like how I did with the gyms.
For more information on how you can get involved to help build a gym for abused kids in Pennsylvania, visit GiveAChildAVoice.com. Drew Brees makes history. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, Bill, what does G-O-A-T spell? Brees.
Will he get it here? Yes! Touchdown pass, 5-4-0 in the 5-0-4.
As in Drew Brees setting the record as the Saints crushed the Colts 34-7. Brees passing Peyton Manning for the most career touchdown passes of all time.
Not sure how we got here. It kind of makes your whole life and career flash before your eyes, because I never thought I would have had the chance to be a part of something like this.
And his 96.7 completion percentage, also an NFL record for one game.
It was special. Everything about the night. Monday Night Football, playing the Colts, right? The team that, you know, we won the Super Bowl against 10 years ago, and obviously national television, big game, and now, you know, that record in the balance as well.
The Saints improved to 11-3. The Colts, who were 6-4, fall to 6-8. A pair of defensive standouts being claimed off waivers by Super Bowl contenders. The Chiefs claim pass rusher Terrell Suggs. The Saints picked up cornerback Janoris Jenkins. Suggs waived by his hometown Cardinals over the weekend. The G-men waived Jenkins last week. And Josh Gordon suspended indefinitely for again violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug and substance abuse policy. The Seahawks receiver has now been suspended 6 times for violating the league's drug policy and has missed 2 full seasons. To the ice at Madison Square Garden, Predators beat the Blue Shirts 5-2. The Rangers have lost 2 in a row, 3 of their last 4. And the Cavaliers fall to the Raptors 133-113. Head coach John Beilein.
We're just having trouble matching up with some of these type of players. And as a team, we got to find a better way to do that. They're just a really good team, and we're certainly a better team than us.
The Cavaliers are now just 2-16 in their last 18 games. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, laying the ground rules for impeachment. Wicked winter weather is here, and the best Christmas movie of all time.
Books are terrific gift ideas. And today, I recommend one for kids, one for teens, one for parents and grandparents, and one for just about anyone on your list. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It's a little late to still be doing Christmas shopping, like I am, especially for anything that needs to be shipped. Even so, books that pass on a Christian worldview are worth the hassle, and I've got 4 to recommend for you this Christmas. In fact, you might want to self-gift some of these. The first is the best book I know of that teaches the how of communication in a tough culture. Tactics, a Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions by my friend Greg Kokel. Every Christian needs this book, because every Christian in this day and age will find themselves in conversations about controversial topics, called upon to defend their beliefs, and even maybe Christianity itself. Tactics teaches, well, tactics. In other words, this book gives you the rhetorical strategies you need to speak up in such a way as to generate light, not heat. Now, if you're thinking, wait, hasn't that book been out for a while? Yes, it has. 10 years, in fact. And now, it's been expanded and re-released in a 10th anniversary edition. This edition not only has updated stories of Greg's tactics and actions, which are very helpful, it has even more tactics. Greg and I discussed his book on the Breakpoint podcast, which you can listen to at breakpoint.org. As I told him, this book should come with a warning. Anyone who reads it no longer has an excuse for not sharing their beliefs and convictions, even on tough topics. Now, the second book is for children, especially little girls. Rachel Denhollander's How Much Is a Little Girl Worth? Denhollander, as you might remember, is the force of nature that bravely and persistently worked to expose the hundreds of cases of abuse by USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar. Rachel Denhollander understands that in a culture that victimizes little girls in so many ways, they need to know who they are, as made in the image of God. This beautifully written and illustrated book can teach little girls that their worth is beyond price, and that they can meet any challenges they'll face with God's help. It's an especially important gift for any little 4 to 8 year old girl in your life, but I bought it for my daughters who are older. My third recommendation is a bit self-serving, a practical guide to culture, helping the next generation navigate today's world, which I co-authored with Brett Kunkel. This is an ideal resource for parents, grandparents, teachers, and youth pastors who are in the cultural deep end with their kids. The book unpacks the major issues in our culture, from the obvious ones like LGBT issues, social media, drugs, and smartphones, to the unseen undercurrents in our culture that parents often miss, such as identity struggles and the overwhelming amount of information that students face today. Now, the best part is that A Practical Guide to Culture is exactly that. It's practical. In fact, it's proven especially helpful for grandparents, believe it or not. We hear consistently from parents and grandparents that A Practical Guide has helped them make sense of the culture their kids face so that they can connect with their students in their life and help them navigate these tricky cultural waters. And speaking of students and culture, I'm pleased to announce that on January the 1st, a student edition of A Practical Guide to Culture called A Student's Guide to Culture will be released. This book is written directly for junior high and high school students and covers the same crucial issues in our culture from a Christian worldview. It's not yet released, but it is available for pre-order. Now, why not give a great book this Christmas? You can find these four books at our online bookstore. Just go to breakpoint.org. And whenever you purchase books at our online store, it benefits the ministry of the Colson Center. Again, that's breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Tuesday afternoon. Let's take it outside. A lot to talk about there this week. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that has brought our area snow, ice, and rain today will be departing, and that precipitation will be diminishing. But thereafter, an Arctic cold front will set its sights on our area, crushing through with snow and wind and flurries and blowing snow. Tomorrow, lake belts could be hit hard. Other areas just briefly getting into some of that lake flakiness. Here's the call for this afternoon. Snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain tapering. It's tricky travel, though, certainly where the precipitation has been ongoing with sub-freezing temperatures. We'll peak in the low to mid-30s today. Then tonight, a bit of lake snow or flurries, otherwise mostly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, windy, turning colder, flurries, and lake squalls. Heavy accumulations are likely in the snow belts east and southeast of Lake Syrian, Ontario, maybe an inch or two elsewhere. Temperatures tomorrow in the 20s and falling.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams. Some tricky travel for sure in those lake areas of western New York tomorrow, folks. Be careful out there. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, December 17th. Lawmakers in the House meeting right now. They're laying out the rules for tomorrow's historic vote on impeachment. Correspondent Bill Rakoff is on Capitol Hill.
The Rules Committee needs to decide whether there will be any votes in the full House on amendments to the Articles of Impeachment and how many hours of debate there will be. The debate in the meeting today will likely revolve mostly around procedure of the impeachment process, with some rehashing of arguments from Democrats and Republicans about the president's conduct and whether it rises to the level of an impeachable offense.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell today rejected the minority leader's request for new witnesses in the upcoming Senate trial.
It appears that the most rushed, least thorough, and most unfair impeachment inquiry in modern history is about to wind down after just 12 weeks.
McConnell says Democrats have failed to prove their case against President Trump. Wicked weather being blamed for at least three deaths in the Deep South. 27 tornadoes touching down yesterday in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama.
The house is okay, thank God. But every other house is around it is not.
Every other house around it is gone.
The storm system now slamming the Northeast with heavy snow today. This plower near Binghamton says motorists need to just stay off the roads in weather like this.
Hopefully everyone stays home. They like to clog the roads up for us so we can't get around too easily.
Winter weather advisories up through today for much of our listening area. Tomorrow, the lake effect snow machine cranks up once again. Close to a foot of lake flakes could fall in ski country tomorrow. Knee-numbing cold to go along with all of that snow, too. Clergy sex abuse survivors now sounding off on an order from the Pope to lift a Vatican rule that's protected the privacy of accused priests for the past 18 years.
We don't especially see this as significant.
David Clossy is with the survivors group SNAP.
We believe that the solution is involving the independent professionals in law enforcement, not adding or tweaking internal on-paper church policies.
Catholic leaders in Rome say the policy change will prevent future abuse by clergy members. Women will have to wait. Family Life's Brandon Dixon explains.
Global gender equality could take another 100 years to achieve, according to a new study. The World Economic Forum's report ranked Iceland as the most gender-equal country for the 11th consecutive year, while much of the Middle East was the worst. The study focused on four main themes: economic participation, educational attainment, health and survival, and political empowerment. The report forecasts it'll take 99 and a half years to achieve full gender equality everywhere. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. A Texas husband and wife are now officially the world's oldest married couple.
We met in 1934, and 5 years later, we were married.
And they've been married for 80 years. 106-year-old Josh Henderson and his wife, Charlotte, explain what the key is to their success.
Take every day in stride. Try to make tomorrow a better day than today.
Some pretty good advice there. The Hendersons will officially celebrate their 80th wedding anniversary on December 22nd. We are coming up on 23 minutes past the hour. Tuesday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Mike Masters from Lancaster, New York. After losing two of his star football players in a tragic accident, he now teaches coaches across Western New York what winning is all about. For our listeners who aren't familiar with cross-training athletics, Mike, who are you guys and what do you do?
Well, we're a faith-based organization that works with high school athletes and coaches in the area of character building. And how we do that is that we have character playbooks that we go in and we do a theme of the year. This year's theme is Press Upward. And every one of those letters matches a word, such as P is Pursuit and R is Responsible. And we go in and we share with these young men character words and character talks using biblical principles.
Mm-hmm. You've been a coach for a lot of years. You've been around sports. You know the shtick. In talking to coaches in this area, is there a constant theme you hear?
I guess there is one theme that's important to every coach, besides just winning a game. And if you ask every coach that you work with, and that's what we do, we ask them, do you think character is important? And every time the answer is yes. And then our comeback is, well, what's your character game plan if it's that important? And so I really believe character is important to coaches, and they want to do character. Sometimes they just don't know how to do that and be, I would say, intentional about it on a weekly basis or doing something a little bit every day. But every coach you talk to, if you ask them if they thought character was important, they would say yes, most definitely.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Mike Masters from Lancaster, New York. He's with Cross Training Athletics. And again, why was this program started? Was there something that kind of launched this that you saw?
Yeah, no question about it. When I was a coach at Cheektowaga Central, unfortunately, I had a couple athletes that made some poor decisions on a Friday night, and they passed away along with two eighth-grade girls. And right then and there, as a coach, I knew that our small little playoff trophy in the trophy case wasn't so big of a deal anymore. And it really radically changed my coaching. To be honest with you, I brought the Bible right into the school. I did have no idea had no idea that that wasn't allowed. And we started the next year to do actual devotions before every practice. They weren't mandatory for the athletes, but we get about two-thirds of our athletes to show up before practice and do a short five-minute devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that thing that kind of kicked this off. And we were very fortunate that year to have some good athletes and some good coaches, and we won the first championship in the school's history.
Wow.
And that's what kind of precipitated this whole thing, was that there was a tragedy. But I believe out of negative situations, out of dark situations, you know, God can turn those around and bring light and bring life. That's what it happened.
When you talk about the influence that people have on especially young people, their lives, I mean, parents, obviously, those in the faith community, obviously, but in my opinion, the coaches, it doesn't get much more influential than that when you combine something they love, sports, athletics, competition, and then the coaches right in there every day. Talk to us about the importance of having men and women of high character be coaches today.
Well, I think Billy Graham put it the best. He said that one coach in one season will have more impact in a lifetime than a person who just is going through life. Even he recognized that. The power of a coach, I don't think we understand how powerful it is. Here is a kid, a teenager, who loves what they do. They love the sport, and they want to please the coach, and they hinge on what the coach says.
Yeah.
And so this coach has a tremendous platform for these athletes. Athletics is the greatest medium. It is a test tube for life, where you have to be able to take direction, work with others, go through adversity, go through your highs and your lows, and how do you handle that? And how do you stay close-knit as a team and not be selfish and be sacrificial? Not to be a superficial athlete, but to be a sacrificial athlete. To be an athlete that puts team ahead of itself. It's like a family in a microcosm.
That's Mike Masters from Lancaster, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that has brought our area snow, ice, and rain today will be departing, and that precipitation will be diminishing. But thereafter, an Arctic cold front will set its sights on our area, crushing through with snow and wind and flurries and blowing snow tomorrow. Lake belts could be hit hard. Other areas just briefly getting into some of that lake flakiness. There's the call for this afternoon. Snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain tapering. Tricky travel, though, certainly where the precipitation has been ongoing with sub-freezing temperatures. We'll peak in the low to mid-30s today. Then tonight, a bit of lake snow or flurries, otherwise mostly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, windy, turning colder, flurries, and lake squalls. Heavy accumulations are likely in the snow belts east and southeast of Lake Syrie, Ontario, maybe an inch or two elsewhere. Temperatures tomorrow in the 20s and falling.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams. Be careful out there, folks. Finally at noon, everyone has a favorite holiday movie, but only one is sweeping the nation.
Selfie. What would you like for Christmas?
I want an official Red Ryder Cub in action 2-inch Owens Ball era.
No, shoot your eye out.
Come on, Mom, that's right. A Christmas Story recently ranked the most popular Christmas movie of all time by the lifestyle website House Method.
Our hillbilly neighbors, the Bumpuses, had at least 785 smelly hound dogs. And they ignored every other human being on Earth but my old man.
Officials surveyed America's favorite Christmas movies by state and found A Christmas Story was tops in nearly half the United States. The Will Ferrell comedy Elf came in second, followed by Home Alone and It's a Wonderful Life. 54 Christmas classics were surveyed for this poll. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.